Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It's the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler, Carlos Ortiz alongside Marco Belletti on the updates. We've got a phone number. It's a call-in show, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Good night in the NHL. Another good night in the NBA. We got our first home team with a victory as the Thunder beat the Nuggets pretty badly, 149-106. So that series is tied. Game three will be on Friday. We've got the Knicks, who beat the Celtics again in like the same exact fashion. Down 20, comeback, Bridges, big stop at the end. They play Saturday afternoon in New York. Knicks up 2-0. Good luck getting a ticket. Unless you have a tree in the backyard and the leaves are money. Very expensive to get in. Just to get in. Pacers and Cavs will play on Friday. Cavs need to get healthy. Down 2-0. And just one game on Thursday night. There will be just one game on Thursday night. That's how the schedule is adjusting, with some teams getting an extra day off for travel. So we're just going to get the Timberwolves and the Warriors. Jimmy Butler against his old mates. Jimmy Butler's going to have to act like he's Jimmy Butler of the Miami Heat that was willing some of those teams to the finals, because they're going to be without, the Warriors are going to be without Steph Curry for at least a week. Golden State Warriors guard Steph Curry, according to Warriors PR, underwent an MRI. This would be on Wednesday morning. The MRI confirmed. You got it close enough. MRI confirmed the injury is a grade one hamstring strain. Curry will be reevaluated in 1 week. So how long out with hamstring strain? I'm going to ask Google. Google says a minor strain, grade one, a few days to a week. A moderate strain would be 1 to 4 weeks. A tear, 6 to 12 weeks. So if they're saying grade one, general recovery time is a few days to 1 or 2 weeks. So by the time a week is over, a week from right now, this very second, they will have played 5 games in that series. And then there's an extra off day, and then they play, I think, on a Saturday in Golden State. So, or in San Francisco. So I would expect the soonest you would see Steph Curry back on the court, and I don't know if he'll be 100%, would be May 17th. And that would be game six. Yeah. That's going to be a while. Now, that's on the normal schedule. Okay? I'm saying 1 to 2 weeks the way that we process time. And Carlos and I have talked about how, because we start the show at 10 o'clock Eastern and we end the show at 2 a.m. Eastern, we actually work 2 days.
True.
A night. Yeah. So that's 10 days a week. So Steph Curry, if he could try to figure out a way to shrink, like Carlos and I work 10 days a week. So your normal week is 7 weeks. Ours is 10 with weekends. So like 12. But have you ever seen, this is always so popular on TikTok because the guy is insane, but this is the way that Steph Curry needs to start to manage time.
So I measure time. I've compressed and condensed time. I've bent it. My day is 6 a.m. to noon, and I'm not crazy. You're crazy for thinking it takes 24 hours, just like some dude in a cave did 300 years ago. My second day starts at noon and goes till 6 p.m. That's day two. And then the next day is 6 p.m. to midnight. What I've done now is I have changed and manipulated time. I now get 21 days a week. Stack that up over a month, I'm going to kick your butt. Stack it up over a year, you're toast.
So, wait.
Stack it up over 5 years, my entire life is different than...
Okay, all right. So that's what he does. He has 21 days in a week.
The stupidest math of all time. This guy needs medication.
So, but he's not counting when he sleeps. When he sleeps, because what he's doing is he's cutting his days into four, but then he's not counting when he sleeps. So essentially what he does, he's saying he's awake for three different 6-hour components. And so if Steph Curry did that, why I played that was because if he gets 21 days in a week, well, then Steph's going to be ready by game three. I don't know who this guy is. I've seen him all over. I saw it was Tommy Gunn NBA tweeting that out today. Warriors fan says, Steph, you got 15 days before game three at Chase, my guy. Rehab and rest up. We'll see you then. Part of the Light Years pod on the Blue Wire Network. So I caught that, pretty funny. And I always like an excuse to play things that I see that I'm like, how can I factor this into the show? I have no idea. Right now, what's coming up on my reels is guys that are taking $8,000 in blackjack chips and playing hands. It's like the same three guys. I don't know how you have this much money to like do that, but that's what they're doing. And I'm sure Instagram or Meta pays them maybe $15 a reel. So maybe, you know, they you win that back. You can't make money without spending money. That's the adage there, right?
So scared that'll be money, the only don't game. Make no money.
Yeah, that too. I put $100 on a blackjack hand once at my bachelor party, and my dad was mortified.
Good. I would be too. I've seen a guy lose $600 in 30 minutes, and that swore me off of gambling.
Yeah, well, my dad should have been mortified because it was 6-5 odds, not 3-2 like it should be. You know, blackjack, you should get 3-2. Now all these tables are going 6-5. You know what else I've seen a lot is Vegas is like not doing well because people are just gambling at home now.
Oh, yeah. You'll get no sympathy from me.
I always thought the allure of Vegas was come gamble, free drinks, and cheap hotels. But now they've become this big sports destination and they're not giving anything away for free anymore. At least that's what I've encountered. I won a poker tournament in Vegas. I've told you about that. I was 40 player tournament.
Oh, no, you don't remember that at all.
Oh, I won $500.
A 40 person tournament and the payout was $500? That's not time well invested.
Well, I mean, I thought it was.
Do the math. 500 divided by 40. How much does everybody throw in for that?
Like $10.
Yeah, that's
$20.
Terrible.
I won a tournament, dude.
Again, congratulations. That is an impressive feat. But it just doesn't seem like a great payout.
That means I only came home with Vegas minus $1,500.
Every little bit helps.
It got me a little bit above water. Then there was one machine I hit on. It was one of those Michael Jackson. It was a Michael Jackson slot. That's the way. People are always like, we need to do is be on like a slot. Like Little Shop of Horrors has a slot. I mean, the money you can make off of that. Like, you're not making money off the slot, but to license you as a slot. I want to be on a slot. If we could have like Infinity Sports Net, like slots, and, you know, if you get 5 Maggies in a row, that's like the jackpot. 5 Perloffs in a row, you know, 5 Barts. You get 3 Carloses, it's like a bonus game. I don't know. Something that came out of my mouth. Mike is in San Francisco. Hey, Mike.
Bart, how you doing, sir?
What's up, man?
I'm sorry. I'm trying to contain myself, but you know, listening that okay, that comment with the King Koopa. Okay,
that's what I look like.
I spit out about half of my Jack in the Box taco, which I get them about 4 or 5 times a year. that was classic. But not to you know. It could have been worse, man. You could have had them, in other spots besides your back. But anyway, my main point, the Steph Curry thing. Those are sort of good. Some MRIs, man. If they could, exactly tell that it's just a grade 1, hamstring pull. But we're diehard fan Bay Area, of course, but we're in trouble. And rumors about, you know, people all have their opinions, but one of these sorry fools out here said about something about, you know, resting Jimmy, Draymond, and a couple other guys, and just give up in the next game. Well,
what?
That's local people.
Someone
out
on the
here.
Radio and said that.
Yes,
I'm now, all for thinking outside the box, but that I don't see the logic in that one.
No. If I couldn't even make that up, but I almost like threw open my mouth. Anyway, sorry, but you are hilarious. I just want your take, man. I mean, he's honestly, I don't think he's. We'll be lucky to have him in Game Six, or I mean, it's going to be a long series, but you know, he comes back too early.
Yeah.
It could be bad, man. So I'm no doctor. It's tough, and seeing Jimmy, I love Jimmy, and what he has done. You may correct me here, and I'll take it off air. But two finals appearances, I believe. 1 year he was the 8 seed, and I believe the second time I want to say they were the play-in team. I could be mistaken, but
they've definitely done it as a play-in team. That was with the Heat. Mike, thanks for the call. Yeah. Thanks for wasting half of a Del Taco on me. I'm sorry about that. I think with Steph, and I think the language is important and what they're saying. They're saying reevaluate in a week. So don't read that as he's going to miss a week and he'll be back. They are reevaluating him in a week. So I think best case scenario, what that does is if he's going to be out for a week, then that means, well, what are the games between now and a week? Game 2, Game 3, Game 4. But Game 5 is Wednesday the 14th. So I would probably rule out that too. Now, they get an extra day because they don't get an extra day right now. And maybe it wouldn't matter with the week. But they're going, and they were just in Houston, so they go 2-2-2. They're playing every other day. They play the 14th. That's a Wednesday. You get Thursday off, Friday off. And then you would play. Oh, you wouldn't play right now. I'd schedule it until Sunday. So they would get. There's no game scheduled for this. That can't be right. So right now it's scheduled for the 18th. I guess that's what it is. So then you would get 1, 2, 3 days off in between 5 and 6. And then game 7 would be scheduled May 20th. So there's a couple things you want to do there. You want to make sure he's healthy. You don't want to rush him back. But also you're going to need him. And then you think, well, if he does get hurt, you know, what's it going to do? If he gets hurt and loses, does it jeopardize you for next year? Probably not. But you still want to be responsible. What you have to try to do if you're Golden State is you have to start to approach the rest of the series like he's not coming back. It's not a devastating enough injury, it doesn't seem like, that you won't get him at some point again. I mean, game one of the Western Conference Finals, you know, probably isn't going to be till around the 22nd. So that's 2 weeks. So if you can get there, right now you have to get there. He's down. Got to carry him over your shoulder. You got to get there and then see. This doesn't have to be an injury that knocks them out of the playoffs. Look, this is a grueling time. Some of these guys get hurt. They get hurt a long time. But you're also going to see guys get hurt in the playoffs and then be able to come back. Hopefully for the Cavs, that's the situation they have with Darius Garland. And the other guys that are hurt. With Mobley and Hunter. So then what they need to do is this needs to be Jimmy's team. And I think, like, Draymond, I thought he got a little more involved offensively the other night. Now, Buddy Hield, if he's making 9 threes a game, you're not even going to know Steph is gone. He was 5 of 8, 9 of 11 the last two. That's what Steph would do. But then, if you look at Buddy Hield, let's see. The last two games, Buddy Hield has 57 points. So he's averaging 28.5 points a game. The other five games of the playoffs that he has had, then there was one game where he had no points. But in the other five games, he had 43 points. And he was averaging 8 points a game. So if a guy is varying between 15 to 4 to 0 to 33, well, I don't know that you can expect baseline 20 points out of that guy. But you will need him to step up. And you're going to need... Now you're getting more Jonathan Kuminga minutes. So you're going to need that. Podemski, he isn't really scored the last few nights. He put up 26 in game 4 against the Rockets. He's got to get you more buckets. And then maybe a couple of guys off the bench, Moody, Payton. Yeah, you got to figure it out. I think Golden State can win this series without Steph Curry. I think they can, but I also don't think that Minnesota is bad at all, and they could easily win this series in 5 now. So I think both teams have to, and that the thought of resting guys, I got to hear that take to know what the rationale is behind it. But no, if you're Golden State, you don't like rest guys to save for when Steph's coming back. You got to assume Steph is not coming back, at least in this series. And the quicker you can demoralize your opponent. Like if Boston goes down 3-0 to the Knicks, that's cooked. They ain't coming back from that. If the Warriors go down 2-0, or rather the Timberwolves, if they go down 2-0, it's one thing to go down 2-0 at home to the Golden State Warriors. It's another to go down 2-0 at home when Steph Curry just played 13 minutes in those two games. That can be demoralizing. Then you got to go to Golden State. The game 3 crowd is always the crowd that I find the most interesting. Because the series has started, and now it's this crowd's chance, their first crack, to be a participant. So if you split, you know, game 3 crowd's going to be pretty excited that you split, especially if you won game 2 and you're coming with some momentum. Denver won game 1, Oklahoma City won game 2. Denver's still going to be pretty jacked up for game 3, but I think there's just a little more juice if you win that second game. I know it's weird. If you're down 0-2, well, then the game 3 crowd's like, okay, you won at home, now you got to win here. Not happening on our watch. But if you can come home up 2-0 and you haven't even played in your building yet, and I think that's what you're going to see on Saturday with these Knicks fans, and if the Warriors can get that atmosphere, that is going to be something. So quite the opposite. All systems go. You got to. It's a 7-game series. You can't punt games unless you're down 40 points with 5 minutes to go. Then you bring on the special teams. But not now. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4ISN. The Dallas Cowboys made a trade. I've been on the air for 3 hours and 20 minutes. Haven't even brought it up. So we're going to do that next.
No, we're not.
Unless I see a different shiny object.
We are.
You got anything else to distract me?
No.
We could talk more Thunderbolts.
You mean New Avengers?
I didn't say that. Gotta see the movie. 888-710-4476. It's the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler, Carlos Ortiz, alongside Marco Belletti with an update. And you will hear that update very soon. Like right now. Marco, take it away. A few minutes. All right, folks. The Dallas Cowboys made a trade. They did. They traded for George Pickens. So if you were a Steelers fan excited to pair up DK Metcalf and George Pickens, well, Madden didn't come out yet, so the rosters will change. But you could trade back for him, see what it would have looked like. That's interesting that this trade came so quickly after the draft and that picks in the 2025 draft were not exchanged. That's interesting. Pickens is going to Dallas for a third-round pick, essentially. The Cowboys are also sending a fifth, and then they're getting back a sixth. So it can never just be Pickens for a third. There's got to be a little back-end, you know, I don't know, back-end part of it, too. So Dallas acquiring George Pickens and a sixth in 2027. Pittsburgh getting a 2026 third and a 2027 fifth. Jerry Jones has been trying to work for a trade. Was looking at McMillan out of Arizona and would have taken him at 12, they say. But he went number 8 to the Carolina Panthers, and then the Cowboys just did not take a receiver at all. Now, Pickens is in an interesting spot. He's in the final year of his rookie deal. Sources are telling Jeremy Fowler of ESPN that the Cowboys don't plan to extend that. They're just going to let him play out the final year. Kind of like Houston trading for Stephon Diggs. He had some time left on his deal, but then they reworked it, and now he's in New England. He's a free agent. So they're making a trade for a guy. They're hoping that he can be a factor here in 2025. I guess if things go well, you could franchise tag him. But it's a trade. What's odd about it is it's a trade that's specifically designed to help the Cowboys in 2025. And they gave up a third and a fifth to do it. I think there's a lot to like about George Pickens, the player in the Dallas offense. They've needed another guy over there. And there's Jalen Tolbert, and the guy I get confused with Jalen Tolbert, and then Kevontae Turpin. Jonathan Mingo, they traded for him. He's still under contract. They sent a fourth-round pick. So Panthers got a fourth-round pick this year because of Jonathan Mingo. And, of course, they've got CeeDee Lamb. Now, DK Metcalf's in Pittsburgh, but then their leading returning receiver is Calvin Austin III. The rest of that room includes Roman Wilson, Scotty Miller, Ben Skowronek, and Robert Woods. This trade's interesting because how much of it is about Dallas and how much of it is about Pittsburgh? Now, Pittsburgh, when they quit on receivers, typically that's curtains for their career. Martavis Bryant, doing well with the Steelers, leaves Pittsburgh, not so much. Juju Smith-Schuster's had some success. Emmanuel Sanders, you know, he played long enough to have a little more success. But Deontay Johnson has been bad. Chase Claypool has been bad. And then whatever you want to describe as the Antonio Brown situation. So I think Steelers fans are looking at it as, okay, well, he's probably not going to produce there. We're not going to regret it. And then we get a couple of picks for him. And there, you know, there's been off-the-field stuff. Is he happy? Is he doing a first down motion and the clock's, you know, what is he doing? So Pittsburgh moving on, Dallas getting the receiver. I think just from a football standpoint, it makes Dallas better. I think Dallas is a team that we're going to not pay a lot of attention to. But as long as they stay healthy, they could be pretty good. Now, is pretty good going to win them the division? Is pretty good going to get them into the playoffs? Is pretty good going to win them a Super Bowl? I don't know, but I don't think Dallas... You know, Dak was hurt last year. I think the way we approach Dallas right now is we think they're a 7-10 football team with a healthy Dak Prescott. That's not true. Now, they hired a coach that was uninspiring that I don't know that Jerry Jones even knew he was on the roster. He keeps talking about, well, if Mike McCarthy locked him in through osmosis, I guess I'm going to lock him too.
Osmosis.
Yeah. Well, I've always liked Brian Schottenheimer. I liked his family. Comes from a good pedigree. It's Mike McCarthy. We don't need George Pickens right now, but we're good. We'll need him forever, but we need him right now. And then, with the Steelers, can we talk about this trade without wondering what it does for Aaron Rodgers? You know what? I had a friend asking me this again the other day about how I can't believe he's holding the Steelers hostage. I don't think he's holding them hostage. He's a free agent. He doesn't have to do anything. If you're waiting for Aaron Rodgers' 41-year-old decision, that's on you. So I still think they're both sort of like the Steelers and Rodgers are doing the thing where, you know, if you got a friend that's a girl and you guys are like, you went to high school together, you're back after college, you like work at the same place. You know, she's not, you know, but you do the, if we're not married by the time we're 40 thing, common sitcom trope. Even though what she's telling you is, hey, I got to at least bring one child into this world. And if I haven't found a guy by 40, I know you well enough that it can be you. And by you saying that, you're saying, I want to be with you immediately in the back office of this warehouse. You know, one are from Venus and one are from Mars, right? And that's kind of what the Steelers... That's kind of what the Steelers are doing with Rodgers, but they're doing it with each other. I don't think this is a hostage holding situation. I think both sides are like, yeah, you call me if you're around, but if you don't call me, I will go on living my life. If Rodgers doesn't play football this year, I don't think he collapses to be a human being. If the Steelers don't have Aaron Rodgers, and at this point, the Steelers should be looking ahead for their quarterback of the future. Now they drafted Will Howard, maybe give him a spin. And I don't think they're going to be bad enough to draft a guy super high because Mike Tomlin's teams just are not going to be that. But it seems after this trade, it's not even less likely, but it makes less sense. You just made a trade future forward. You're gonna bring Aaron Rodgers in to throw dimes to Ben Skowronek. Now there's a lot of assumption that Aaron Lazard could get traded from the Jets, so he posted the "I'm not effing leaving" meme, and Jets fans are like, "Oh man, there could be a Packer receiver there. They got a full room now. Maybe one of the guys Rodgers played with when he was still here." 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. So we'll see how things shake out in Dallas and in Pittsburgh. But it's an interesting trade that may have big ramifications, and maybe it doesn't. I don't know. And I just got paid for that analysis. Eric's in Cleveland. Eric, hello.
Hey, Bart, how's it going tonight?
Good, Eric. How are you? Yeah.
Doing great. Calling about the Pickens trade. Yeah, I had such high hopes when Steelers got him. I've been a lifelong Steelers fan since the Rams Super Bowl. So But I think it's honestly addition by subtraction. I mean, we've had the Antonio Browns, the Le'Veon Bells, and they were good, but the dysfunction. And that just making the playoffs year after year and getting bounced. You know, like you said, I mean, it's got to be a quarterback, like really rebuild or get something going. And I'm kind of like over Tomlin too, because I don't know, man, he lets a lot of dysfunction go on. But, and then Dallas, I don't see how Pickens can thrive there. I mean, when he's good, he's good. But other than that, so I do think it's that. Maybe they'll do something with the Metcalf, and who knows with the bringing in the, you know, Aaron Rodgers or something. But I'm honestly hoping for the long rebuild and just get it right. So that's the best I got. But thanks for taking my call, Bart.
Yeah, thank you. And I think that's where some Pittsburgh fans have gotten to, because they are constantly good. They're making the playoffs. They're not winning in the playoffs. And if you're a fan and that is aspirational to you, then it sounds crazy when you hear like, oh, why do they want to rebuild? They're winning all the time. They're, you know, they're in the playoffs. But at some point that does get tedious. It does bring apathy. 9-8 every year and making the playoffs only to lose is not the utopia you think it is. Now, if you're living in a world where you're 3-13 every year, you look over the neighbor's fence and you're like, well, their grass is greener. I'd like to live there. Yeah, maybe. But then you live there and you're like, oh, they just got like the same problems we do, only the window shutters are a little nicer. It's just makeup. It's just aesthetic. Still sucks. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Let's get an update here. It's Marco Belletti. We are halfway there, folks. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Carlos Ortiz. Pat Boyle coming up next on the Infinity Sports Network. You know, there was a big game for New York tonight on the road. Yeah, but unfortunately, weren't able to get it done at the end. Yeah, a couple of late heroics from the Pittsburgh Riverhounds against Carlos's NYCFC in the U.S. Open Cup.
Griffin was right there. Not meant to be for Pittsburgh. This has to be it for regulation. From the corner, the header! A winner in Pittsburgh!
All right, there you go. That's courtesy of the Golazo Network. Do you know what I am even referring to as a newly minted NYCFC MLS season ticket holder?
Yes, I do know what you mean, because I followed the game. And by follow the game, I mean I just had the score bug open. Yeah, not a good showing by NYCFC, but it's okay, because I just saw them beat a 7-win Cincinnati FC team that was pretty good, and they couldn't score on us. So I will take a trade every so often.
Yeah, I don't really know what goes on in the MLS regular season. I do get into them when they're in the CONCACAF Champions League. I believe Vancouver's in the final after beating Miami, so Messi's out. The U.S. Open Cup is something that I get into, but I root against MLS because I'm rooting for the USL teams and these other squads. So I want to see these cup sets, as it were. I want to see these other teams be able to knock off some of the MLS teams. It's basically what every country does, is some sort of club tournament with the soccer clubs from all levels, and they play each other, and it's a chance for the bigger teams to come to these smaller stadiums and all that, and it's been fun and great. And then a couple of years ago, MLS is like, no, we don't even want to do that anymore. We'll send our reserve teams. They don't send all of their teams, but they send enough. And it's just another thing that could be better if Major League Soccer wasn't set out to do the worst version of the best thing like they constantly do. That would be my description of them, is they try to do something good and they do the worst possible version of it. So I was rooting for Pittsburgh and the Riverhounds tonight. Now, who do they play next? I can't find that anywhere. I don't think the internet allows a U.S. Open Cup bracket to exist on its database, but somebody knows. All right, let's go to Brandon in Chicago. Brandon, hello.
Yo, yo, yo. What's good, fellas?
What's good? Lowe's,
thanks
what's
for
good?
Taking my call.
What's good?
What's up? I want to do touch on this NFL tip real quick for Dallas. You know, I know they got the guy Blue, but there's been reports that they're trying to get maybe Breece Hall or Nick Chubb. I was also wondering if Hendrickson is still wanting to leave the Bengals and if anybody's reported of maybe going after him. And if you
we haven't heard much about that. The latest is Trey Hendrickson has no interest in playing on his $16 million salary. And so, I mean, we knew that. There's been no updates. I don't, other than just restating what the standoff is.
And if you were the Bears and wanting a running back, would you go after Chubb or Breece Hall? And then I just wanted to touch on the Warriors real quick.
Well, Chubb's a free agent. But I think if you get Breece Hall, you're going to have to give something up for him. But probably, even with that, probably Breece Hall at this point.
I got you. All right. And for the Warriors, you know, people are overlooking, you know, they just beat a Rockets team that had a pretty big front court. And, you know, everybody's talking about how Minnesota's, you know, a big squad. And they just took down the 2 seed, you know, and Steph, you know, had 17 and 22 points in a couple of their wins in the last series. And, you know, a bunch of other players showed up big. I think they're rallying around. They're going to rally around Steph and want to pull through for him. And I just think Steve Kerr is going to like the challenge of, you know, beating this Timberwolves team. And you think Chris Finch is... learn something from this Celtics loss. I mean, watching OKC and, you know, how they steal the ball and, you know, they mix it up with the paint and the three. They're just fun to watch, man. And I think that's what makes them so dangerous. And the Celtics are just so predictable. You think Finch is going to take that into account?
Well, with the Warriors, Brandon, thanks for the call. I think that they are going to play for Steph, certainly. They got to make sure they have enough talent to do that. I think a lot of it is going to be about how do they manage. It could be very easily a 20-point Timberwolves win in their next game. I think a lot of it's going to be focused on what do they do, how do they get Steph back. And the Timberwolves, you know, the Timberwolves should probably come out like the Thunder did. But I don't know that that's going to happen. It's going to be tough. Game two is going to go a long way. So anybody that suggesting otherwise, game two is going to be interesting. I can get Al in Arizona right before the end here. Al, what's up?
Hey, how you doing? Can you hear me?
Yeah, what's up, Al?
I'll try to be quick. And I guess it just really doesn't make a difference at this point. But I think that Bears fans are literally like, delusional and almost like sold a ball of wax on the idea that their draft was great for 2 seasons in a row. Ryan Poles, he seems like he's a good guy, but you can't draft best player available when you don't have your starting positions filled. And he did it for 2 seasons in a row. Last year, they didn't have an edge rusher and they end up blowing it off and they waste a 4th round pick to get back in the draft to get Austin Booker, who's probably never going to play considerable time this year or in the future. This year, the same thing. Last year, they were 25th in rushing yards. How do you not address running back early in the draft? You get Colston Loveland and sell the world that he's better than Tyler Warren, and he's not. And beyond that, you have no starting running back that's better than last year. Why not trade down and get O'Marrion Hampton? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I think with the Bears and their approach, Al, thanks for the call, they kept trading back after running backs were taken. So maybe that was a strategy where they should have traded up rather than trading back when they couldn't get their guy. I think they're very happy with their first two guys, and then they weren't able to get one of those running backs later on. They got the kid out of Rutgers that everybody in Chicago will now tell you that they secretly loved all along, which is always fun to revise history. That's part of the game. It's part of what we do here at Sports Radio Enterprises. I am Bart Winkler. Thanks to Carlos Ortiz and Marco Belletti, and to all of you. We'll be back on Thursday. Pat Boyle's gotcha. Oh, Ryan Horvath called. That was very nice of him. Thank you, Horvy. Pat Boyle next. This is the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.